stuff has always been really challenging. Like, I remember when Terminator came out.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Like, old school.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like it brings up a lot of social questions that I think, like, most that are very sort of like nuanced that a lot of people don't, you know, pick up on. And I feel like Texas is a very sort of nuanced place. Like, I feel like there's like sort of like a broader picture of what it is and what goes down here. But I feel like it doesn't get, you know, it's not like New York City or something where, you know, people recognize it for a certain like cultural export. They just think like ranchero culture or like cowboys and stuff.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Like, every time I would, and it still happens, if I go to like Europe on a gig, people are like, do you ride a horse? Like, it's just a thing that happens.
Yeah. So like, you know, being in Texas, because you've been here the whole time, like, how has that like influenced you in any sort of way?
Well, actually, like, I talked about this with somebody here. Like, we did a Twitch stream a couple weeks ago, but we were talking about how my Wikipedia is kind of wrong. And I moved here like with my first boyfriend.
Oh.
And yeah, I was like born in the Philadelphia area, and that's the area I grew up in, was like Philadelphia, South Jersey. And but I mean, I've been here for a hot minute. Like, I'm gonna keep it like, you know, mysterious, but I would say like about 20 years.
Crazy.
Yeah. So I mean, I also, like, it's funny, like, I've read like, you know that site Quora?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I've like stumbled upon some like algorithmic stuff that was like taught like conversations. People were like, how long do you have to live somewhere before you say you're from there? Like, people have these really funny, you know, like self-imposed kind of timelines that they make or that they impose on others. A lot of people were like, if you're somewhere for 10 years, then like you can say you're from there. To me, like, where you're from is where you're from. So like, I've never been like, I'm from Texas. It's just like, for me, I use it in my artwork, and I'm really interested in talking about the present, if you see what I mean, like the current moment. So I've never been like, oh, I'm from here, or like, you see what I mean? Like, for me, it's just like, this is now and I'm here now. So like, there's really no need for like debating, you know, because I think people can also pull up what I've done and like the timeline, you see what I mean, of like where I've been going with my music, and compare it. And not to be like big headed or anything, but there's not really a lot of other artists in Texas like that do the type of stuff like I've been doing. So I'm good to kind of like own it. You see what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. But I do feel like the Halcyon Veil sort of, you know, it's so hard to say that there's like a specific type of sound or like, you know, a definitive aesthetic, because I feel like to me, it almost feels like regional art because it is very sort of like geographically centered, and that can be really sort of like hard to discuss or codify in a certain way. Like, but I do think, like, you know, just in like Austin, you see a lot of the influence, you know, with like a lot of like the things that are going on here with like BPM and stuff like that. Like, there's a definite, like, there's a definite thing taking place here that is influenced by it. And it's cool because like the moment I met Eric Hernandez, like when I first got here, I was like, there's something really special about this person, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And like, it's going to make an impact, I think, you know, in some sort of way. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to see it all kind of like come full circle.
Yeah, like, we met last year when I was up in Austin, and he drove me home here to back to Houston or whatever. And so that was actually the first time we met. And it's funny because like we have been talking off and on for like years online. But for me, like I'm kind of not worried about it. Like I'll talk to an avatar without knowing anything about them. Whereas like I feel like for other people that would be odd, but for me like it's not. And so like when I heard their music and made the connection and saw who it was, I was like, oh, we've been talking for like a couple of years, like that's pretty random. But we had like a long conversation coming back here to Houston, and I just feel like we hit it off in the same way. Like we understood a lot of the same references, and also like, you know how it is now, the term underground, it's been like used, abused. It practically means nothing now. And even though it does. And I just feel like you can tell when somebody is coming from that place, like where they kind of get what you're doing.
Right.
And that was kind of the vibe I had, like meeting him was like, I knew like I didn't need to explain certain things. Whereas I feel like for a lot of people, things in my music or like things I would bring up, like I felt like, you know, people don't get the context or the nuance or the reference. Cause like for me, it's like you were talking about the like say I'm doing something that's like say it's like a mixtape, like he would already know what it was if it was like something from Houston. And that's the way I like to work. Like, I don't like to dumb down for anyone, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we kind of hit it off. And, like, what we do with the label, I mean, we've actually been on kind of a hiatus for 2 years, and we're just coming back, like, with my album was, like, sort of the return.
Right.
But we're going to hopefully collaborate on, like, a release together with them and the label. And that's really all I try and do. Like when I meet somebody from Texas and I think it's something new that I've not encountered before, like really the only goal if we collaborate is just to get it out there. You see what I mean? Like I'm right. not trying to turn it into something, change it. And I think that's the biggest difference between us and every other label. And it's not to be like, it's not to shit on anybody, but it's like, for us collaborating, like that's the point. It's not like, oh, let us present and refine this vision. You see what I mean though?
Right.
Like, you see what I mean? Like we're not trying to like smooth anyone's edges or have them make us look better or have releasing them make us look more, you know, liberal or like, cause it's like at the end of the day, our first release was like a trans artist.
Right.
Like back when that wasn't even like a thing or a narrative in electronic music that was like hyped. So for us, I just feel like we're just going to keep doing like what we've been doing since 2015. And hopefully we can collaborate on, you know, their release and more people can kind of like catch wind of what they're doing.
That's really beautiful. I mean, it kind of speaks to something that's really rare nowadays, because I feel like a lot of people who sort of like co-sign for each other, like, I'm a millennial. So I remember when like people talked about underground in a very different sort of way. And they were like a lot of, you know, especially like 2011, there was a lot of like discourse surrounding like things like cultural appropriation and and stuff like that. Like those, that was like the blogosphere days. Cause like, I remember Terminator when it came out, like I was like, not, you know, it was, I was like aware of all of this stuff that was taking place. And now it almost seems like there's no concept of any of this stuff anymore. So I feel like it's like increasingly rare that people have like an imprint where they're like, say whatever you want, do whatever you want. You're from this area, because we sort of understand each other. We have a common goal in place. I feel like that comes from like a regional kind of understanding more.
Exactly.
And that's like, because you see releases now and it's like they've got everything set up, the PR is just flawless for everything, But it's, and it's not to like and, shit on curating. It's just like, you know.
Yeah. And like, that's the thing is, for us, I feel like this is going to sound cliche, but like, you know, the motivational thing where it's like, oh, the thing you're viewing as like a flaw or that's holding you back is the thing that makes you unique. But it really is true because like for us, being naive and just having good intentions, like that's why we've lasted this long, because like yeah, like every release doesn't get everywhere, every release is not like reviewed everywhere, but for us, acting on the intuition and just being like, wow, this is good, or like, oh, I've never heard anything like this, let's like hit them up about putting it out, or like let's see if they're working on something new, and then just like going from there, that's how we operate. And we're doing little things here and there to like tweak. You see what I'm saying? Like we might tweak the way we do things. But for us, I just feel like also the type of people that follow the label, and also within the last like year, and also kind of since my album, it's like there's a lot of different eyes on it. And so we just feel like doing that, with people collaborating, putting something out into the world, like, and then just handing it back to them is the best thing to do. Cause it's like, we're also not trying to hold people down for like multiple releases. A lot of people have that in their contracts, even labels that people think are like underground or something. Like they're basically trying to, if you quote, make it big or whatever on that release, like they want to milk you. And it's like, for me personally, I don't have the time to be like holding hands for someone through like their whole career either. Not holding hands, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have time to be like managing artists either. So it's like, yeah, put it out into the world. Like if it opens up avenues and they want to go to different places, like we love that. And then just keep it moving. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's not about ownership for us. It's not like owning or coining also like styles and people, whereas I think like you notice from just like paying attention to different scenes, like that's kind of how labels operated. It's kind of like when me and Lodic first released on Triangle, it was like the guy who ran the label saw, oh, like this is going to be a whole thing now, oh, it's like gay producers, oh, it's like harsh, oh, it's like deconstructed, like let me latch on while this like becomes a thing. And it's just taken a couple years, I think, for me to like sit and rest and like figure out what I'm doing, figure out what happened in the past, and kind of like reorientate, you see what I'm saying, myself in everything.
No, that makes plenty of sense to me. I mean, it's kind of weird because I feel like when something becomes too much of a thing, you know, it's kind of like a lot of this stuff to me, it just kind of like happens on accident. Like I just
totally,
certain people just like fall. I don't know. There's some sort of like alchemical property to where certain people just kind of like fall into my life kind of like naturally in a strange way. And it's like very serendipitous. And I don't like to use that word, but I do feel like when people roll off of that rather than like, you know, being like, okay, this is going to be a thing. We have to find a way to like make this thing profitable in a certain way. It's like, that's not going to last. Like you should, if when you see a thing like that coming, you should actually go, so you should not like dive deep first into something else, but you should explore whatever the non-thing is. Also, you know, you should try to explore both of those avenues, you know, at least in just terms of like, because you know where it's going to end up. It's going to become like some major label thing, or it's going to become some like, you know, another 10-year art movement that gets milked by collectors. You know what I mean?
To me, like, I just feel like some of that is like the collective unconscious. It's like when you have this whole kind of like disparate group all kind of like suggesting and working on the same ideas at the same time, but nobody knows each other.
Right.
You know, like that's interesting to me. And Yeah, it's funny. I just think, what you just said too, it's like I've been talking about this with a couple people because I feel like we're sort of like on the cusp of I don't know, other waves of like scenes happening. And that it's funny, it's really funny to me to look back like at all the different eras and how irrelevant some of them are now. It's like
Oh yeah.
the whole like C punk thing like seems like it
Right.
was like a joke, but people took it seriously.
Yeah.
And then of course you have Deconstructed Club, which I
Right.
mean is like I guess like a curse word now or something.
Yeah. I feel like it's like hard to use the word deconstructed in jest because like in order to use that word, you have to have like a mutual recognition of desire. And like, what is there to deconstruct at this point? So I feel like, I feel like it almost kind of does it like a disservice because it's like at the end of the day, you're just trying to make interesting art, And I think a
And
lot.
like, that's the fucked up thing. Like, I was talking about like, taking time to just like get my bearings in terms of just like creating and how I wanted to like contextualize things. One of the things that really popped up to me in retrospect was like a lot of the criticism that I got back then in that era, when that whole deconstructed era was like, when I would get a bad review, it would say like, oh, this is incomplete. And then like as I got more into like other kinds of electronic music since then, I was like thinking like nobody ever reviewed a basic channel release and said, oh, this is taking apart a genre and this has like one sound in it. This is
Right.
incomplete. So like for
It's just
one group,
one
what's
bass line
viewed,
with like a filter opening for like
that's
10
what I'm
minutes.
saying is like, but yet no one ever brought that up for like, say I have an old release and it's like got two sounds on it. And no one says, oh, this is inspired by minimal techno or like this is inspired by dub. Like that's what I grew up listening to was like Lee Scratch Perry or like Tricky or something. Like people didn't go there. What they went to was making up that like I didn't know what I was doing and that this was all like an accident and that it was not finished rather than it being on purpose when they review like or talk about basic channel or something like that. So to me, I mean, everything's political, as you know, and like everything's social and I guess sociological. But to me, like honestly, that era gave heavy elitist vibes, like discriminate, like you see what I mean? Kind of like they were trying to find a way to put what I was doing in like a sonic ghetto and kind of like take credit away from it. But then like if it's somebody from Berlin, like it's the best thing on earth.
Right.
You see what I mean? And
Yeah,
that
yeah,
goes
yeah,
back to
yeah.
Texas because if you listen to like even interviews from like people that are classic now, like it's like Outkast, Goody Mob, like you're gonna hear the same thing over and over. And what they're gonna say is anything coming from the South is not gonna get credit. Like
Right.
it's not new.
Yeah, I mean it, you
Yeah.
all like all the Memphis rappers would talk about this too. That's why they're like we had to start our own thing. And then people started noticing, picking up on themes within the music, like horrorcore, quote unquote, or whatever, with Three
Yeah, yeah,
Six
yeah.
Mafia. And it's just like,
Yeah, there's whole entire like EDM acts now, and like literally all they do, I call it EDM. I don't even know what it is, but it's like these people, and all they do is make like Memphis Reborn or whatever it's called. It's just like influenced by trap, but it's like white guys like yelling. Or it's like got people wearing masks and yelling over trap. And I mean, that's fine. Like, what other people do doesn't affect me. But like, when we talk about things like, oh, music from here, music from there, like, what just, I guess, like gets me going and kind of upsets me is just those cycles. You see what I'm saying? Those
right.
socio-political cycles where like certain things are credited. And then certain things are lost in time and are forgotten about. And that's part of the reason why I started going hard, I think, on like mixtapes was that was a way for me to kind of like contextualize and put myself into like what I was influenced by in music history. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because I'm not planning on stopping. It's not like this thing that I just randomly did for 1 year and I'm going to like, you see what I mean? Move on. It's like I'm doing it with the reason, one of the reasons being that when I'm not here, like people can use that to connect the dots.
Right. You know? With it's like the whole not being here thing. Cause it's like, I remember just like the music that I was making like 3 years ago, like nobody was fucking with like ECM Records, Heat soundtrack, Terje Riptol, kind of like that, that style of thing. And now it's like, I'm looking at like fashion videos, like Hugo Compty, and they're using like Heat soundtrack sound. I'm just like, wait, what? Like, this is just,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is like,
and it's just like culture escalates so quickly once people find, find something and think and realize they can use it to make their brand seem cool. You know,
that's all it is. It's like,
yeah,
that's, I saw something funny on Instagram. It's like a clout busting. It's when you get like Heaven by Marc Jacobs, when you get like every single micro niche celebrity who lives in like New York City together to wear a certain kind of brand, and you put them on this like 50-foot couch or whatever. But
right, right.
But I always found it more interesting to like constantly just destroy your own brand, like by talking, like by either like fucking with disparate kinds of people.
And no, it's like, completely, yeah, no, like you're completely right. Like that's what Eve's tumor is like it doesn't mean anything. And that's the credit that I give them, is like they're from the scenes that we were talking about. And what they did is they took a step over everybody and was like, this is all kind of completely meaningless, so let me just do whatever. And it's not to say it in a negative way, it's actually giving them credit.
Right.
And it's not even that, I've never even heard that project. That's the thing. Like, I don't listen to music that, I just have an intentionality when I listen to things, because I don't want to hear what people are doing.
Right.
But I notice what moves people are making. And I use that to, you know what I'm saying? Just
that's
create
my
own. That's
crazy that you say that, because I feel like the same way. Like, there's so much stuff that like I've personally never even listened to, or like just because it's like, I don't want to be influenced by it. You know, it's like that same thing you were saying, is like, I just like, your brain has only so much RAM. Like, you don't want to like
fill
it up with too much shit, but you notice like just sort of like the lateralization of what things are happening. And to me, like, I feel like that's always more important, because you're looking at things more anthropologically than like critically investigating things piece by piece, because ultimately, like, you want to find the context. Like, that's why criticism is dead, because people are looking at things singularly, but they're not giving an entire picture of what's actually taking place.
Yeah, I think I get that. I mean, I do think, like you're saying, like, reviews are irrelevant. It's like people see that something was reviewed somewhere, and I think they just look at the headline, and then they see how many of those there are, and then they make up whether something was successful or not.
Yeah,
I mean, I kind of notice all of that, and I know that those are the ways people operate. But for me personally, I also understand that, like, culture is transient, modes of communication are transient and ephemeral, and like, we're not going to be on Instagram forever. And so I also try and keep those things in mind, and I make things, you see what I mean? Like, knowing that it's not just about right now, you know?
Yeah. I think the long game is like really, really important. Because I've seen so many of these sort of like trends take place, especially with like people of like, I don't want to say Gen Z, because that's, you know, that's just another sort of like advertising slogan of its own. But, you know, I do notice with like a lot of younger people, they tend to think, well, I can make this all about me right now. They capitalize on this, like, you know, I don't know, kinetic wave of discourse surrounding themselves and who they are. And they become like a sort of like factory of gossip in a certain way. And I think that's really damaging, like long term. Cause like you said, it's like you want to do things for a long time. It's like, do you want to make $1 million now, or do you want to just like keep making stuff?
No, it's true. And even in terms of money, like, I think the pandemic showed us, like, people are willing to buy tickets to see any goddamn band from the 90s, like, and 2000s, like, bands that had one hit song are coming back and doing tours. Like,
crazy.
Things live for, like, a long time, and that's part of, like, why I made my album the way it was. Like, that was part of my motivation. Like, I discussed that a little bit, which was, like, whether it was the visuals or the, like, you know, some of the music and the interludes and things, like my take on the Texas scene was like, that was a snapshot. And that was me saying, from 2017 to 2020, this is what I was noticing. These are the people like that were around me. And if I don't document it and make it real, then like, when we're all older, like, it never existed, according to a lot of people. And so that's kind of like the phase that What Dreams May Come like occupies. And like, I'm probably not going to stay in that phase. But I think for me, my motivation was realizing I was also kind of the only person that was noticing these things and feeling like that. Because like what you're describing, I mean, it can be generational. And at just about age, I think certain age groups, there's like a real strong desire to fit in. And if you feel you don't, like, it's very like isolating. But I guess what I'm saying is, in context to the music scenes, like, a lot of people are making their decisions, so they do feel like they fit in. And I mean, that's fine. That's what being 20 is about. It's about you do what your friends do, and you're all figuring it out in real time. But for me, I was kind of like, I'm occupying a space now where I'm like practically an elder. And even if people don't want to act like it, I'm going to show you. Like, not in a big headed way either, but like maybe a little bit. But if you see what I mean, it's like I'm able to take a step back, you know? And for me, it was about realizing like, that's not a bad thing. That's what makes me unique as an artist. And, even if it sells no copies, even if I don't get covered, you see what I'm saying? Like, in the cool places, like, I'm still happy to occupy that space. And to me, like, I get to define my definition of success. And to me, that was a complete success, because I hit my goal. You see what I mean?
Right. That's a great way of putting it. I really think more people should understand that, like, you should be the person in charge of defining what success is for you, rather than sort of looking, because I do feel like there, you know, I feel like a lot of people are sort of afraid to show, you know, because I feel like authenticity obviously has a lot of negative connotations, and it's, in a lot of ways, it's a stupid thing to sort of like qualify, but I do feel like a lot of people are sort of like afraid to go to a place where you're sort of like defining the terms of what a project is successful to you, rather than being like, I made a listicle. And it's interesting, because like, you've done stuff with like, what makes you stay in Texas and not just like go to LA and do that?
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, like, people want me to come out there all the time to work on their thing, and people want me to come here, want me to come there. And like, I've done that. And I either like have the songs in the stash and like, they just weren't used, or things like that. But I also, I mean, I'm in the mode where, say like a rapper hits me up and they're like, or their manager, and they're like, oh, they're here for like a week. Can you, go and work with them? And for me is like, first off, like, I don't know what your project is. I don't know what you're trying to do. I don't know who you are as a person. I don't know your musical context. I don't, like, I could fill up a book with what I don't know, but what you know is that you want me to come. You're not offering money. You see my point? And I understand that that's how entertainment works now, is everything's a gamble. So like, you want me to spend my own money, fly out, do a song with this rapper, and then they may never use it, and then I'm out. You see my point? Like, so like, I get things like that all the time, and I even got something last week, and like, it would be huge to most people just to be like asked to be a part of certain things that I've been asked to be a part of. But for me, I need to really trust people and trust their vision in order to like create work. And I also, like, I'm good being isolated. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you may have picked that up, but it's just like, I make my stuff like through trial and error and through experimenting. So it's like, people might hear a finished track, but behind that is like hours, days, and years of like messing with the sounds. You see what I mean? And getting in a room with somebody who wants a beat and make, you see what I mean? Like, that's not how I work. And so part of where I'm at now is just realizing like what I need to work and what makes me comfortable. And I just have to be okay with that. You see what I mean? Like, I can't beat myself up for like, quote unquote, not being bigger if I'm also not willing to do those things. You see my point? Like, I'm not willing to go to LA and sit in a room with a random person. So as long as I'm going to be this way, like, I have to be okay with the way things are.
You know, that's a good point. I feel like a lot of that's a really good like state of mind to be in. Because I do feel like a lot of people, especially, I don't know, there was a moment where I felt like there were a lot of people who would do that and they were not okay with the results. And then they would sort of lash out at other people. Mm-hmm. Like, I've just experienced this in my like personal life, where a lot of people who I was close with, they just held so much resentment over this like idea of like they sort of wanted it both ways. And at the end of the day, like, you have to sort of just be okay with the decisions you make, because ultimately, like, that's where freedom is.
And I'm also like, you brought up, you know, the whole thing, conversation came about based on Texas, and I just think like that's a Texas thing, is like being okay with what you're doing and being like, fuck y'all, not in like a combative way or like a way where you want to fight. But it's like, one of the first music people I met here, or not met, but like went to a show, and we eventually, you know, started talking after like years later, but like, was Blackie. And like, one of the things he said to me was about turning down going on a tour with like Death Grips. And I was just like, wow, people down here like really are kind of punk. Like, they kind of don't give a fuck. Like, because it's just like, knowing all my friends in music that are in like LA or New York, like, they would go on a tour with anyone. And I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. But I just think when we're so isolated here and there is such a lack of a scene, like a thriving, I mean, there is a scene of sorts, but it's not like, you know, these other major cities. And then it's like, after a while, you just get the ability to stand on your own 2 feet and realize that's all you have, because everything that comes in and out is just a hype thing, you know?
Right.
And those are all things that influenced my process, was like that history of Texas music. You know, it was like a random person in a record store when I was buying something here being like, have you heard of like the Big Boys? Or like, you know, just like these old Texas things that no one knows about. And for some reason, I'm just like, I've always been influenced by that in like with music and art, is just people that have a connection and like a pride with what they do, you know?
I mean, I feel like Texas, like one of the draws is like, there's a lot of quote unquote, like outsider art here, whether it's like Forrest Bess or Jandek or like Jerry.
Totally. Hunt. Yeah.
And there's something, or like Rocky Erickson. I feel like that spirit is really, really important to the place, because it's like you said, it's just kind of like, I feel like especially recently, because it is so privatized, I think 30% of Houston's owned by BlackRock now.
Uh-huh.
And you do see, because it is so pro-development, like,
yeah,
it's not like LA where you still have like atomic age architecture everywhere, like Las Vegas or something like that. It really, like, that sort of like sentimentality has to come from, like you were saying, like from you standing on your own two feet and like holding that flame within you or something, you know, like that's just how I see it, at least from my perspective. I haven't been here that long. I'm like only a few years in. Do you listen to Jandek at all? Have you ever?
How's it spelled?
Jandek.
Is that a band or is that an artist or what?
He's like he's from Houston, and he just was like pressing his own records that he would just record with like a detuned guitar and like these really strange lyrics. And he just was like this recluse in Houston who would just like called his label Corewood Industries. And Jerry Hunt was, he was like, that was like another person I was thinking about. He stayed in like the Waco area forever. He was like a gay performance artist, a minimalist composer, and just did this like really wild stuff. And just he was really into like Rosicrucianism and the occult and like Carl Jung and stuff. It was just like,
okay. And what was his name?
Jerry Hunt.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I've never heard of that. The first name did sound familiar, but the second, not.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. I just think about that a lot.
Yeah. Everybody's got like their thing here, that no one's heard of. It's like when I first moved here, I lived in Galveston for a long time, and there was these dudes that would, sell CDs at the gas stations. They were kind of like screwed up click. They were called Big Body Click, but they were from the 409 area, which was like Galveston County. And you can find some of their stuff on YouTube, but yeah, it's just funny how there's these things here that are just very lost in time. Like at the moment they were so regional, like you say, and it's good to find things like that in retrospect. Like I'll look for things like that online, occasionally find things on YouTube. But a lot of things do just get lost, honestly. Like, you know, and that's what sucks to me. I mean, I'm okay with it, honestly, because it's all like, you know, that's the nature of this all is, it's here right now, then it's gone. Like, I'm okay with things being like that, but there's also a side of me that's interested in history. And I think that's kind of the other side of what I was describing to you about kind of like motivators for me, you know? And because, I mean, DJ Screw's the same way. Like, at the time, it was not even taken seriously, and now it's in museums, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy how that works, you know. I think about that a lot. I'm just like, how do certain things that I just remembered as a kid, how are they just lost now? And it's like,
yeah.
Just stuff like even like a certain like typography or like style.
Uh-huh.
And then like weirdly you'll find some like blog dedicated to it.
Yeah.
And then or like some Instagram page, and like nobody even looks at it or knows about it. And it's just
right. Yeah, that's the best ones.
Yeah, those are the good ones. But the ones that are like indie sleaze, I'm just like, oh man, I remember all this shit. Know. This shit is fucking bleak.
Yeah.
Hey, no worries. That's cool.
But yeah, let's let's keep the conversation going. And if there's anything specific that comes out of this conversation or whatever that I think of that we didn't touch on, like maybe we can just do it again. Yeah, sure. That's cool for me. Or we could just do another one if you want, like maybe in like a week or two. If, because I feel like there's some more specific things. This was kind of broad.
Right.
But yeah.
Well, we could do like a two-parter or something, or like piece them together later. Like it's all good. We'll figure it out.
Okay, cool. Yeah, two-part is cool for me too. Yeah, it was good to talk, and this just came up on me pretty quick. Cool. Okay, well, yeah, let's just keep in touch, and let's talk again in a couple weeks.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
Keep it going.
All right.
Okay. All right, have a good day.
Yeah, you too. All right, bye.
All right, later. Check the news, pussy real tight. Got a good squish, fat lips on the guy, no list, big AP on a small wrist. Could've paid for it, but I reckon him. Bitch, I'm on 10, keep the lights dim tight.